CHUM AM Toronto is TSN 1050. An iHeart Radio station. The NBA champion Raptors live here.
Is this a... What day is this?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Yeah, well, the dude abides.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Oh, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to do this. Not in August. No chance. It's nice outside. I'm going up north this weekend. I won't do it. That's enough. Shut it off. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this all afternoon. I'm not doing 3 hours of this. I don't care.
What is that song?
I know. Like that. I
We got to get the major league song.
I think you're right. I think we need to turn this into a positive Friday. Get Garfunkel, Simon and Garfunkel out of the way. And
Kenny,
we need a major league.
Kenny, do you have
afternoon.
The do you have the major? Yeah,
let's go.
We are rocking.
Yes, let's pretend it didn't even happen last night. Let's come in here and pretend like that game didn't happen, and we will play the major league theme song when they go on a heater mid-season, chasing the pennant, pissing off the owner.
All the guys around town are like, maybe they're not that bad.
Yeah,
maybe they're
like
pretty
them.
Good. Maybe yeah, they're
who's
pretty
this
good.
Nick Robertson kid? He looks pretty good. Hey, Freddie, I believe in Freddie all of a sudden.
Marner's back. Marner's dialed in.
I love it. We're playing Major League all afternoon. We're not going to play the depressing stuff. It is a with that being said, I guess it's not necessarily a positive Friday, but it doesn't have to be a negative Friday. Right?
Well, it depends on how it turns.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what? This time tomorrow, it could be looking a lot different heading into a game five. So that's
right.
Where you're thinking? That's where you're at?
No, I'm not really thinking that at all. Like, I know better than to think that. Why would I think that? Have you been following this team for my whole life?
Well,
this
I know I haven't.
Just
but.
It always happens. It's like cheering on the villain in a Disney movie. You just know where it's going. You know where it's going. You lost before you even started. It is just remarkable how they find ways to do it. And it's just one more reference point. It's typecasting now. Like, we get it, guys. You choke, you throw away games. We get it. Like, it's find a new rule. You know, find a new slant, as Mrs. Colangelo would say on a burner account on Twitter. Find a new slant. That's what I'm going to ask the Maple Leafs.
Never
okay,
in
we
my
get it.
Career.
We understand it. You throw games away. We
never,
get it.
Never in my career in broadcasting, which is not that long, like 7 years, like, about halfway, Jamie, is it like halfway, but like when the game's halfway over, you kind of start collecting thoughts of what you're going to discuss?
Yeah.
So
it builds along the way, but you're right. Like, you should have, if you've got a pulse of the game, you kind of have a clear idea as an analyst where you're heading. Yeah, where you're heading.
Two or three bullet points of what's going to happen. Last night, I don't agree with the coach where he said, I don't like our game at 1-0. I didn't like it at 2-0. I was going to say when it was 3-0, I sent in a text to a group chat. This is the best I've seen this team play as a group, and they're ready and poised for a run here. They figured it out. They know how to play in the playoffs. And an hour later, I was discussing a loss.
Yeah.
An hour later, you're like, man, if Clark MacArthur scored on that breakaway. Oh, wait a minute. That's not this game. Which game was that again? Oh, that was the game from 7 years ago they choked away when they were up 3. I'm getting my reference points wrong. Matt Fratt, before you even asked.
That's it. Yeah, Matt Fratt.
Yeah, was it James Reimer playing last night? Was that Randy Carlyle scratching his temple off behind the bench in overtime, or was that Sheldon Keefe?
Well, yeah, I mean, honest to God, it was a tale of two games. You're right. Like, the game was over halfway through it. Like, halfway over
the
game.
New goalie that hasn't played the whole series.
And he's a rookie. He's never played in the playoffs before.
You're right. And even if he slams the door shut, let's just say he slams the door shut, you're up 3. Like, you should be able to defend. Like, the team has had a now, Freddie had played well in the first couple games where you felt like giving him a 3 spot, you're in pretty good shape. I know you've lost Jake Muzzin, so you're asking a little bit more of some players. You're asking Marty Marincin to play. But it was a tale of two teams. Like, I'm sorry, a tale of two games within a game. Like, it was like the Leafs dominating, and then the Leafs going to sleep, and Columbus not giving up, and their will and hard work took over to the point where they were the better team the last, what, the last?
Yeah, the last, well, half of the game, because the Leafs didn't do anything. I mean, I think Columbus continued to battle, and they were certainly the better team. It might have been by default because the Leafs just froze. I thought the Leafs performed well in overtime. They were the better team in overtime, I thought. But it was close. I mean, it was a good back-and-forth overtime. But the Leafs, I thought, were buzzing, and they kind of composed themselves in between the intermission. And they threw away a three-goal lead in the playoffs against a team that has trouble scoring goals. And that's the end of the whole discussion, and it's a best of five. If that was game three and a best of seven, it would be a very different tone. You know, it would still be a difficult one to accept. It would be a difficult one to overcome. But it's not the same when it's a best of five. Now you're facing elimination on a back-to-back.
Yeah, that's the thing, Brian.
You're back in action
back
tonight.
Back-to-back. Now, I don't know, like, oh, where are you at, Brian? You played back-to-back. Like, it. I mean, everyone's in the same boat. Like, is it better to just go right back at it if you're the Leafs?
I think it is, because I just not that I dislike coaches, but I just don't want coaches to dig too deep in negativity and show clips and find clips. It's just up to you guys. There doesn't need to be a big speech today. It's like, go ahead and go out there and do it. You've proven in this series, when you want to play and you pay attention, you're a dominant team in the series. But if you want to fall asleep, it's still the NHL. They're not a bunch of clowns over there. And if you fall asleep for 10 minutes, for 12 minutes, you'll lose the hockey game. So they got to figure out a way. And they say the right things. John Tavares said the right things. Well, you know, we know where we're at. We know the pressure we're under. Okay, well, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and show where you're at.
They've been talking about that since September 15th.
And the one other comment, I didn't understand was, and I like Sheldon Keefe. I think he does a good job. But when he says, we weren't playing with a plan or purpose, well, who are you referring to? And why were they continuing to go on the ice? If there was no plan or purpose, who was it?
Him to supply the plan and for him to, I guess, set the bar on what the purpose is supposed to look like.
The purpose is you got to win the game.
Yeah. No, him saying that there wasn't a plan.
What other
purpose is there? That is very self-inflicting, I would say.
Indicting.
That's self-indicting, absolutely. That is the worst thing you could say as a coach. What do you mean he didn't have a plan? What the hell does that mean?
The
what
plan
have you been doing
is
for
to
4
win.
Months?
The plan is to win the game.
Yeah, but
and if
you
guys
have
aren't
a
going,
game plan.
Like, I get that. But if
what
the
was
guys
the plan?
That are I would hope to win the game, and if the guys aren't going out.
But that's
what
not
the
a
hell
plan,
other
dude.
Plan would there be?
Dude, I could get some guy off the street to walk in and say, all right, guys, the plan is to win the game. See you later. Yeah. This guy's getting paid a couple million dollars.
I don't know behind the scenes what particular plans, but the plan is to win the game. And if the guys going over the boards aren't adhering to that particular plan to help you help you achieve that goal, I don't know why they kept going over the boards. And I didn't even see that the first half of the game. I thought the Leafs were dominant.
I thought they played very well the first half.
Extremely well.
And I thought they played well in overtime. It was the honestly, that first Dubois goal went in. And
then they started deviating from the plan, whatever the plan is.
Well, it certainly wasn't what was on display the final 30 minutes. I don't care who the coach was and how much he's been drinking. That's not the plan. Like, that was not a plan, and it wasn't executed. And it was just a thoroughly disappointing outcome. They just let it continue to slip and slip and slip. And sure, Muzzin isn't there, and that defense corps is what we have known that they are for quite some time. They have Morgan Rielly, who is a true top-pairing guy, and then more or less they have five other guys in the lineup last night that are third-pairing guys. Like, that's just what they are, and that's what they will be tonight. And that's what they will be on Sunday, and they will be next week. Tyson Barry should be better, but he's just not. You can't rely on Tyson Barry at this point. He's not going to snap out of it, you know, 9 months into his tenure here or 10, 11 months into his tenure. He is what he is. And there's the elephant in the room for me, and I know this is probably going to lead to an argument, but Freddie Anderson cannot win a big game. Like, that is very, very concerning. You spot him 3-0. All I could think of last night, Noodles, and you've told this story 20 times, Grant Fuhr saying, give me one. Yeah. Give me one. He didn't come in and say, give me three.
No, you're
give
right.
me three. Like, Pierre-Luc Dubois beat him twice from the same spot. Twice. You go 2-for-2 in the NHL, he has got to win them that game. He has to. Yeah. And he just doesn't win big games. Game 7 last year, Game 7 the year before. It's You spot him three, he's got to win. He
you're right,
has
Brian,
to win.
It's not going to start an argument, but I would point out, like, they gave up 45 shots. Too.
That's
like,
fine,
that team,
but that happens
that
sometimes.
Fell apart.
If it's
they
every
fell
game,
apart.
I get you. I got you. But at some point, a big-time goalie has to say,
right.
I'm not letting us lose now. You spotted me three. Thank you, guys. I don't care if they shoot 70 on me. I'm winning this game for you guys.
Yeah, you're fair.
He just couldn't do it.
You're right, but I would, you know, I would argue there's him, but there's five or six guys in that boat, and it seems like, you know, it seems like the same culprits every time. Like, you know what? Like, hey, we'll turn the puck over here. Hey, we'll have a soft effort. Hey, we'll pinch in here. Like it's almost like they get ahead of themselves. Like, to me, in my mind, and I think I would probably speak for you, Brian, and you, Oh, and even the fan base, like, at 3-0, the game was over. Like, I thought the game was over because they had it in hand. It seemed like their big boys were going. Freddie looked sharp. To me, you're right. You can lay it at the goaltending feet. I'm not going to argue with
that. That's just the nature of the position.
But
it's not necessarily fair, but that's the goaltending position.
What bothers me about this is that team, whether it's this team or the teams that we've seen, they're fragile. Like, there's no... I look at other teams like
there
they're
is
up
no
three
stepping or there is yeah, no stepping like around that statement. There is
no,
none.
Where's the what the fragile?
Yes, fragile.
No
that's
stepping.
Right. That's
no
the reputation. They've established it until they change it. That's the rep.
Right.
I
like,
mean, there's no dancing around it.
Right. Like where is the group that goes? Ah, it's 3-2. Let's you know what we've messed around here enough. Lock it down or knuckle down or let's take back control. I don't know what that comes to. Like, I think there's a lot of different factors. You're right. The goaltender can give you a massive save at the right time that you're like, hey, okay, this guy's got our back. Let's just settle back down. The leadership core can go, hey, not on my watch. Guys like Charles stand up. Hey, relax here. You know what
yep.
I mean? Like,
yep.
I'm not just pointing at leadership. I'm not pointing at the captain. What I'm saying is it seems like this group gets into their backs up against the wall, and in playoff time, they haven't been able to push through that.
And honestly, that has been a curse that has been attached to the whole organization for the better part of, you know, 15 years. Like, really, the player personnel has come and gone. The coaches have changed. The management has changed. Ownership has changed. We've had the same consistent chat for 10 years. What is it with this group that they just cannot – they just fold when they get a lead or when they should be more comfortable – or they should clean it up. And I don't know what the answer is on that.
It's unexplainable.
Yeah, it's so flummoxing. Like I don't know. And I look at it, I do wonder if there's got to be some sort of hybrid between, you know, Babcock thought and Keefe thought. And I'll give you one play in particular. Before the second Columbus goal, Justin Hall. Justin Hall is not Bobby Orr. He's not Scott Niedermayer. He should never have a green light in a 3-1 game in the third period, ever in his career. He tries to, but with all due respect, like it's just, and he's not alone. 80% of defensemen that have played the game, that applies to them. 80%, maybe 90%. But he has played for Sheldon Keefe for years, and I think Keefe would advocate for, instead of dumping it in at the blue line, try to make a pass. And that's what he does. He has the red line. He can dump it in, live to see another day. They're halfway through a change up front. It's 3-1 at that point. You're in control. He
right.
tries to make a tough pass up the middle to Kerfoot, gets past him, boom, it's up the other way, and it's 3-2. That Babcock would have been all over him saying, you dump that puck in. Keefe, right. I think, looks at that and says, nice play. We just missed it. Do it again next time. There's
right.
got to be like a hybrid between the two.
Yeah,
right? Like, you've got to find some sort of stability in your game where the time is right to make
no
certain plays.
There's got to be an element of fight another day. It's just like, that position, you're in a good position. There is no need for pretty plays. Everything in front of you, grind it out, try to get another one. But it's just, you can break down the plays. I tried to do it on SportsCenter like last night, what happened in the second goal, what happened in the third goal. Seth Jones, Dubois. But the question is, why is that happening? Why do they let that happen at that particular point of the game? It's just,
right.
it's mind-boggling.
Well, but
it's like you can break it down and say, this is what happened. This guy pinched, this guy didn't cover up properly, or did cover up but didn't do a good job of it. But the question is, why does that happen? Why are they making these errors at critical times in the game? And as Johnny Miller would always say, there's a choking element to it. It's pressure. It's things are on the line, and you don't make proper decisions. There's no other way around it. It's crazy.
Immaturity, to me, the only word that comes to mind right now is response. You know, this team has had their, and it's been all year. They've done it the hard way. They've had their back up against the wall. They've been embarrassed by, you know, David Ayers. They've had, like, things that have happened. That's you know, there's no arguing that. The track record is there for this group right now. But there has been some resilience and response, and that's where I think if you're looking at it glass half full, they're not going to do it easy. They have to come back. They have to have a massive response to give themselves an opportunity to play in a Game 5 on Sunday.
Right.
So what do you
make
of
it? Which ultimately is a coin flip anyway, for the most part, you know, if you get to a Game 5, regardless of how you got there.
Right. Hot usually, goaltender. You know, we all see how it shakes out sometimes in these big games. But you have to give yourself an opportunity tonight. You know, Columbus claws back in. You know, that helps the psyche of their confidence too, right? So you're not showing up and getting a 4 or 5 spot. Just Columbus isn't just handing you 4 or 5.
No,
goals.
They can taste blood. They're feeling it.
You're going to have to earn it. So this is going to be a tough game for them. Like, this is a legit, and it's a gut check game. If you
but
ask
that's,
me,
that's the thing where they're lucky here, Noodles, because they have been saying the right thing since day one. I'll give them credit. These guys have been schooled beautifully because they always say the right thing. That we're going to prove it. We hear what people say, and that's okay. We're going to change it. Luckily for them, that wasn't Game 3 last night. That was Game 2. And was it a bad loss? Yes. Does it add up to, you know, all these other losses that we've witnessed over the years? It's one more reference point. But they have the ability to continue to change the narrative. Like, it's that simple.
The
like,
narrative is how many tweets? It must have been trending, hashtag. And so many people tweeted it. So many people that have been around the city for 100 years. That was so Leafy. Mm-hmm. That was so Leafy.
Every Leaf fan's having the same discussion this morning, oh. Every single – and they've had – it's deja vu. They've had it 15 times in their life.
Dude, I went to the golf course and I got it 30 times. Why did that happen? What do they do? I'm like, I'm not the coach. I just want to golf. I got to work at 4 o'clock and I'll talk about it then. But I don't know. I don't know why that happened. But they did it and they got a chance. And the only thing they can do today, and I don't care if it's 1-0, 2-1, they just got to get it to Sunday. And that's all they can do.
Yeah, no, they got an opportunity. Everything we just said, everyone we just laid out and just said, what was this, what was that, what are you going to do, including the coach who was talking about maybe some game plan changes or lineup changes, and we'll see what those might lead to tonight at 8 o'clock. But this game doesn't have to mean the world. Like, that's the difference between last night and Game 7 in 2013, Game 7 a year ago, Game 7 the year before that.
That was curtain.
That was curtains. You're out.
They were curtains, yeah.
Exactly. That's it. That's the last moment you had to prove yourself, and it didn't go your way. Last night can be completely meaningless if you win tonight and then you win on Sunday, right? But if you win tonight and you lose on Sunday, then you're still the same team, ultimately. Like, at this point, their reputation, and it's deserved. This isn't being overly harsh. This isn't being a fan, a media type, et cetera. They are a fragile team. They are a team that is closer to mediocre than they are championship caliber based on the way they've played all year. Like, that's just who they are. But they can change it. That's the beauty of the sport and the beauty of going back at it tonight. They're back on the ice in 4 hours. Go change it.
You know, there's so many – like, the one thing – I don't know where you guys were at with this, and the timeout at the end of the game.
No idea what that was.
Because it gave Columbus a chance to regroup there too. And I know Keith must have seen something he didn't like either the setup or something. But like, it almost gave a collective pause for everyone.
But what kind of setup? I've heard that it's not a basketball game. It's not a football game where you're on the goal line. Like, what setup? Everyone's on the dot waiting to drop the puck. There's no. It's been the exact same way for 100 years.
The only thing I could think of, just off the top of my head, is was there somebody that was gassed on there? Was there something?
Maybe Tavares. Tavares, I believe, had been out for a bit. I think. But it wasn't an icing either. I don't think.
No, so, it was. It was like they got hemmed in the zone, or no. I can't remember how it was, but it had to, like, he called the timeout.
I think Freddie smothered the puck, and it was just a regular face-off.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
It was just a peculiar one, and I kept thinking to myself, all right, like, obviously it gives your team a breather, but, Columbus at that point, they're big boys. Like Tortorella was just pushing them out the gate.
Right,
you know,
and Dubois in particular, who was spectacular last night.
Yeah. He
and full credit to him.
Exactly, but, like, you know, Tortorella couldn't get those guys out you know, fast enough. He was pushing them out the gate. And it gave them an opportunity to reset, too. So, I you know, again, I'm not in the coach's room. I didn't see a glaring thing that maybe Sheldon saw, but it did give a reset for both sides, which, you know, eventually.
Yeah, and I guess to be fair to Keith, the puck was in the opposite end afterwards. It's not like they lost right. off the draw. They won the draw. They moved up ice. They had right. they were buzzing a little bit. It, you know, Tavares loses the puck, and Riley at that point was jumping, and he got caught a little bit. And next thing you know, it's in the back of the net.
It just, but it also get, like my whole thing with that is if Seth Jones, who had been maybe two shifts earlier, had been out there for three full shifts, like
right.
three, like 240, wasn't it? Something
yes,
ridiculous.
He was. Yeah, like three, like the least
three
changed
reps.
Two or three times.
Right, and you didn't. Like that, what it did is it gave a guy like that,
right,
like a breather. Like that's, you know, as much as it gave your group a breather, it gave their top guys, you know, extra 45 seconds, minute to get a
breather. I would like
as
an
well.
Explanation on that. Yeah, I don't know if we're ever going to get it now, but
maybe at the end of the series, you know, you always wonder. I was just sitting there wondering that, and it wasn't that pivotal of a play. But it was one where I was like, nah, that's
it was an unconventional timeout.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
it just was. It was a kind of a strange timeout yeah. for the sake of taking a timeout.
Right.
But the Leafs are back in action tonight right here on TSN Radio. Puck drop at 8 p.m. So game four goes tonight. It is an elimination game for the Leafs. There's already been elimination games this afternoon. The Islanders are through, so they get past Florida. There's some kind of rumblings coming out of the media about what might happen in Florida in their front office. We'll try to keep you updated on that later this afternoon. But the Islanders are through. Carolina is through, as we know. And it's a big elimination day in the NHL because the Habs
huge.
And the Penguins are playing. The Oilers are in action. You've got the Leafs in action. Obviously, Calgary is through on the
Vancouver.
Other side. So
yeah.
Vancouver is in action. They can close out their series. So there's a lot going on, and the PGA Championship is going on. Tiger Woods is teeing off in about 40 minutes.
How's my team against yours?
Have I don't. Looked? I haven't checked. I don't really know. None of us are real close to the lead. There's a couple of guys up at the top of the board that I didn't necessarily expect to be there. Tommy
there
Fleetwood
anyone,
was coming in hot. But
yeah. Was there anyone firing up the minivan?
Oh yeah, there are a
our
few
player grappler.
Slammers.
Get us an update, please, and Kenny can show it to us or tell us.
Yeah.
Because I need to know where I stand. If I got some trunk slammers, I'm screwed.
Okay, we'll keep you posted on our two teams. We'll go back over that. Duffy's coming up. Ray will join us, Ray Ferraro, just after 5. Steve Phillips on the Jays, their loss last night. Some concerns over Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and his start. It has not been a hot start for Vladdy. We'll get into that more with Steve later this afternoon. And the Raptors have a chance to clinch that 2 seed tonight. They're playing Boston down in the bubble. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Ray Ferraro coming up just after 5 o'clock. We've got Steve Phillips into the 6 p.m. hour. I think we're going to get to a role-play level of concern, but we might put a little bit of a spin on it. So it's kind of like a future headlines mashed up with a level of concern role-play, just to confuse everyone. Why not? It's a Friday.
I kind of like that, though. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
Basically,
what
some of our best,
again?
Some
a
of
role?
Our best bits. He's mixing them together. That's
right.
What
it's essentially, you know, if this
yes,
happens,
guy, no guy.
You're playing this role. What's your level of concern? Yes guy, no guy. That's what we should do. That should be it. Future headlines: role play level of concern, where you can only answer with yes guy, no guy. That
I
would just
awesome.
Be outstanding. Yeah, it'd be great material. The S guy will be at it tonight, right? I mean, the pregame's right here on TSN Radio, and the Tap Man will be firing darts at, I think Kristen will be on with him. And
guns blazing.
Yeah, it's a big game, game four tonight. So with all that was just said in the previous segment, you can turn the page and move on to a game tonight. And there's a chance, well, a pretty good chance, by the time the Leafs play tonight, the Montreal Canadiens could be moving on to the round of 16. We'll be tracking that game with Pittsburgh, and they're back up against the wall. Edmonton, they're back up against the wall.
Well,
big superstars, man, are
exactly.
They got the spotlight on them.
And Brian, a lot of these, if Pittsburgh wins today, that's back to back. You play tomorrow. Same with Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Leafs are going through today, potentially, that's what they're fighting for right now. In Edmonton is another game tomorrow, and Pittsburgh another game. So it's. I think it's fascinating. I know people are pissed off right now, but the amount of theater with all of this, like, let's not forget, like, this Pittsburgh-Montreal game, it's pretty tight so far. Right now the shots are 5-2, and you know, Pittsburgh's come out with a little bit of jump. What if that goes into overtime? Is that going to delay the Leafs? You know,
yeah, like, probably it will.
It's crazy. Like,
well, how about out in Edmonton right now? Nashville and Arizona are tied 2 in the third.
Yep.
That could go to triple OT, and that means the Edmonton game will start at 8:15 instead of 6:45.
And you know, I don't know if you saw Lucic's comments after the game last night, because they were like, "Oh, you had the old staged fight." He goes, "The game started at 8:45. You need it was almost like he said, we don't do this for you. We do this for us."
Like, I love how casual he was. He just, like, that guy came up to me and said, "Do you want to fight?" And he was like, "Yeah, I do." Yeah. And you could tell people were like, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
Well, could you imagine fighting that guy? That was a conversation I had with a buddy.
Well,
this
he's got some stones.
That is a ballsy maneuver. Hey, I want to get the boys fired up by taking 17 punches off my cranium.
Fighting a bear.
Imagine
fighting that guy.
And on the way to the penalty box, he looked at him and goes, "Thank you."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good fight. Hey,
what?
Thanks for letting me get the blood boiled over here. Thanks for getting me fired up for the game.
And Lucic kind of, like, let him off the hook. Like, even they were pointing out, like, he had him down.
Yeah, at the end of the fight, he could have got him
go
a couple times. All right, we got Mr. 78 on the line. I don't want to make him, sit there and wait and hold. He's probably on the range right now working on a short game. Here's James Duthie. How you doing, JD?
Just arrived at the building. My focus is switched to the art of broadcasting now. Ace.
Okay.
July is over.
Yes. So you're back in business, and you're covering a Leaf game that is deja vu. I mean, how do you set up a game tonight when you consider that game last night and how everything played out?
I was eagerly anticipating listening to you guys today because of that exact thing. Did Sheldon Keefe, I know I'm not the first to use the word, but was it Keefe on the West Coast trip earlier this year that used the word immature to describe the
team? Yeah, I think he did, yep.
Yeah, I really think that's the best word to describe them. And that doesn't mean, like, it's not immature in the sense that they're in the hotel hallways of the bubble playing mini sticks or something. It's just immature in a hockey sense of how to deal with those situations, and they've shown it time and time again the last few years. Now, in the early years, I think that's common, but you can't really, and immaturity doesn't always, doesn't always come with age. You don't suddenly become mature just because you're in your fifth year in the league or your sixth year in the league, or you're 40 years old or 50 years old, because numerous people in our station, including numerous people on this call, including myself, would probably still be immature. Right.
Yeah, right.
But from a hockey sense, that is to me just the best way that every time they get in a situation like that, you don't do that. You don't have control of a series and lead 3-0 and lose that way unless you're immature. Now, the bright spot is that sometimes maturity can happen overnight or over a couple of games. They win this one and the next one, and boom, it's a different hockey team. It's like Tom Hanks in Big there, where you find the Zoltar machine, and then you're a little kid, and then the next day you wake up and you're sleeping with Elizabeth Perkins, right? So that stuff can happen, but it's until they do it, then that's the way you have to label them. And
it's the timing of it, James. It's like, why were you mature the first half of the game? You're up 3-0, and then why did you become immature?
You weren't mature. You were just what? Talented. I think. I really think.
Oh, so when they're playing good, they're just talented.
No, I think what James is saying, like, maybe I'll paraphrase, but, like, the game was quite easy for them. Like, they were imposing their will.
Maybe they were playing well enough that it looked easy for them. That's what happens when a team's talented and they're playing well. It looks easy. But then it's just a choking-type situation where you can't pull it together when it really matters and they're critical situations, and you all of a sudden become immature. I don't know.
Yeah, it's selective immaturity. That's the issue, James, I think, is they're not immature when they're up 3-0. Then they're immature. You know, when they bounce back in game 2, and it's this whole franchise has been immature for 15 years. You know, some might argue 50 years. You know, what's going to happen is they're going to get mature and they'll be too mature, too old. Now they got to turn it over.
Yeah, these guys are grizzled. These guys are blue hairs. We got to get them out of here.
That's the concern.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing. Like I said, you can't just sit and wait and suddenly expect them to be 25 and 26. And they're not a young team anymore. Like, the NHL, once the guys are in their third or fourth year, you can't call them, you can't say this bunch of kids. Like, you keep hearing that sometimes. They have all these talented young forwards. Well, they're not really that young anymore in the NHL contender manner of speaking. And so I know you guys have probably talked about this, and if they lose, you'll be talking about it in the days to come. But, well, you know, how long is this it? If you say that, if that's the conclusion, if they lose, that this
conclusion
group,
of what?
For whatever reason, collectively is immature, then is that it? Or do you write off this season as a freakish short series in a weird year and give them one more, you know, in general, one more kick at the can? I'm not sure you do.
No, but adjustments have to be made. And you know, think of all the years that the overdrive of Washington, the overdrive of St. Louis, where these teams were perennial, like, you know, built to go deep into the playoffs. I'm not suggesting the Leafs are there yet, because I think they're a defensive core. The way they're structured is very top heavy. There still has to be some tinkering by Kyle and some draft and development. Like, that's coming. But they're better than this right now. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think nobody would argue.
And they win
that.
These two games, it's all, you know, exactly. All this stuff is forgotten, as it often happens. You go back and look at all the Stanley Cup winners from the last probably decade or for history of time, and somewhere along the way in the playoffs, for the most part, you know, they faced some sort of situation where they were down in the series and it looked bleak, and they found a way. So, you know, at some point you either find a way or it's not working.
Well, and the concern, I think, for the Leafs, and I'm hesitant, we're putting the cart before the horse. They still play tonight. They could win. Then they win Sunday. The history of this team should probably set you up for that not to happen. But, again, stranger things have happened. We'll see.
I think tonight's the most dangerous game, by the way. I think if they win tonight, they're going to win Sunday. Win Sunday by two or three goals. I really think that. I don't think it's a Boston situation, like Game 7 pressure and all that. I think I think they're a little shell-shocked from last night, and it's a 20-hour turnaround. I really think if they win tonight, they're going to win on Sunday.
Well, again, the trends would indicate Columbus, Toronto. But at some point, you got to believe something is going to break through. I do think they have played relatively well over three games. You know, like, they went to sleep halfway through the game last night. In game one, they were good. They weren't great. But neither team was great. I think they were both kind of easing into the series, and Columbus got them. They played really well in game two, really, really well early into the game yesterday. You know, tonight was such a quick turnaround. Freddie Anderson going back-to-back, that's tough, but he's got to show up. I think what is likely going to be concerning for a lot of these GMs, not only the Leafs, you know, Pittsburgh would be included in this, Edmonton would be included in this, is with the salary cap now being flat for a number of years, you're kind of stuck with who you got. You know, like, you better believe that you're well on your way. And I would think those GMs likely do believe in that. Like, I would think in Pittsburgh they should, based on their history and who they've got. In Edmonton, they've got two of the top five players in the world. That's a pretty good start. In the Leafs core, I think you have to have faith in. You should. Like, with Matthews, mm-hmm. who's been great, and Marner and Tavares and Nylander and Riley. But if it's beyond that, if it's not just those first five or six guys, it's the rest of the team that you've got to make sure that you address – or you're uncertain on, it's just very difficult to tinker post-COVID, and it probably will be for the next two or three years. You know, it's just going to be very difficult to make drastic changes to the periphery of your lineup.
And don't you think that's hard every year? Like, you get really good teams that, you know, maybe make a couple of depth free agent signings and make a couple of moves at the deadline that on our 19 panels on Trade Center that we applaud as nice pieces. And then it just never really works. And then you get other teams who kind of make these little fourth line, third line, sixth, seventh defenseman moves under the radar, and suddenly you're a Stanley Cup champion, and you never know. And I frankly think half the time it's guesswork for the GMs too, right? That they're not sure how guys are going to work and how it's all going to fit together. But if they go out this year, then the puzzle didn't fit, and you got to start again with what you say. The rebuilding every year is rebuilding at the bottom of the lineup. That's the new way, right?
Yeah.
That's what a rebuild is now.
And that should be easier. It is easier. That, like, I'd rather be in this position than Detroit, where you're like, mm-hmm. I got to find a couple of superstars. Like, I got to find a number one, a number two, a number one defenseman, a number one goalie. You'd rather be Edmonton, Toronto, Pittsburgh, where you've found it, and they're mature and they're in their prime. It is difficult to work around the edges, or it likely will be, because the salary cap is going to be so flat.
But are they mature? You see, I brought the conversation full circle.
Right, full circle. There you go.
Well, that's why you're the best in the business, buddy. It's a good point. And are you tracking the PGA Championship as you're doing?
I have been.
What did you shoot there? I saw this pick you took. You played there, apparently. What did you fire there?
You
Let me guess. 73.
I seriously don't remember. I think I played. I went on my Golf Canada app, and they have this new Golf Canada app, and I can't get it to go back far enough to say. I think I played pretty well. I didn't find it hard. You'll see when the listeners watch it on the weekend, there's these giant trees that have been there forever. But it's not like a tree-lined course in the sense that you're losing balls in the woods or whatever. The trees are massive, but they're all separated. So it might be a punch-out day if you're not hitting it straight. I was just watching Ricky and DeChambeau doing that the last few holes. But it's a very, it's a very playable course. It's a really cool experience. I went on the day off. Between game 3 and 4 of the NBA Finals with the Raptors. Blackie was supposed to go with me, Rod Black, and didn't. So I went by myself. I took a cab there, no clubs. I walked into the pro shop at 4 o'clock. They said the last tee time was 4:10, and so you were hooped because it was taken. And some guy happened to be a Canadian in the pro shop who was living down there working for some tech firm who recognized me and said, hey, we only got 3.
What?
You want to come out?
Wow.
And it was just this perfect San Francisco day. You know, cool with the sun going down. It was a really, really fun track. You're right on the bay. The water is only in play like about 3 holes, but I like it because if you spray it, you can punch out and have a shot. I don't think you lose a ball the entire track. But again, they've probably narrowed the fairways and grown the rough about 5 inches long. But it was a really, really enjoyable golf course. So
it looks
really
cool,
looking
right?
forward to watching.
What
it
happens
this
if you hit a skank ball and you can't get it airborne after that?
I don't do that. Oh,
no, your money, you're dialed off the tee. I've seen it. I've witnessed.
Not going to happen,
Mr. 78. Yeah, I'll put you down for a 79
at
Harding.
Chuck a wedge from 70 yards out the fairway.
Yeah, that's
Jimmy,
a different shot.
Look, buddy, let's just straighten this out right now. I admit that I hit 3 or 4 shots that were a joke. I'm the better player for our team. I need to make those shots. But I think for 15 of the 18th holes, I did my job, and you put yourself in a situation you couldn't get it airborne for 9 holes.
That is not the truth.
Dude, think about your tee balls. They were all crop-dusting, worm-burning, dive-bombing hunks of crap.
I was spectacular off the for like 11 holes.
That's what I'm saying. After that,
a few issues down the stretch.
Tell me one good shot you hit after the skank ball.
I came on the show, I think. I took the heat for the loss. Even on social media, I said, oh, play great. I'm taking the heat.
I know what it is.
There was a tweet out of you about, when you were like putting from the fringe and putted it 6 inches and left it in the fringe. Well, 30-footer. I didn't hear that.
I've got the answer. James, you're an immature golfer. That's it's the maturity level. That's what it is.
I showed my immaturity. Yeah.
You showed your immaturity.
Well, you guys were up. You guys were up by like 5, weren't you? Forget a 3-0 lead. You guys.
I was. But here's the thing: like, it was a choke job, I'm sure. But at the same time, I don't really have that much talent, so I can do. I will do that in the middle of a round sometimes. Period. Where I'll go 6 holes and play terrible. I'm like the streakiest because I'm not talented enough. I'm the first to admit that.
Well,
O has talent, so he has no excuse.
You guys will get him next year. I'm
no,
certain of it.
No, me and
Dubas
you will,
and Jerry
Hayes.
D. Yeah, we'll figure it out. It was a great event. It's a great track. 3 tracks up there.
And it was a big match yesterday with the first up team.
We got a break, pal.
Holy Akavo and Karolnik and Jeff McDonald. You don't want to hear about that?
Who won?
Okay, give us a quick little rundown of that.
I'll just say the radio boss, Jeff McDonald, was very strong. I was impressed with his game. There was some high drama. I knocked in like a 40-footer, and then Holy Akavo put it in on top of me. Karolnik made a big birdie putt. It was, there was a lot more. It was a very amiable halved match. But I did lift out on 18, so you can say I choked again there. Oh, but a 4-footer.
So who are the teams? You and Jeff McDonald versus those two?
You see, we played them last year, and then we completely destroyed them, and so all they've been talking about is revenge all year. Off we went, but it was some brilliance at Coppenwood.
All right. Well, nice. we'll make sure to track who you're playing in the future, and you'll get a win one of these days, and so will the Leafs. I'll bet you it'll coincide.
I'm sure your listeners are just riveted by it.
Everyone's riveted. Really excited.
Aaron Korolnik golf updates.
Yeah, I can't wait. I heard it this morning. I was in the car. These guys were talking about their putts. I'm like, do you guys realize that the Leafs melted last night? Like, let's go here. And now we're talking about it. We're talking about their show's material. We got to go here.
Exactly.
We're moving on. We'll talk later. There's James Duthie from TSN.
Yeah, we go from yelling and screaming to talking about producer shots.
Yeah, not even our own producer.
Let's get it back on the rails here.
Right. Like if the grappler, you know, sprays one all over Coppenwood or something, we might talk about it, but we're not talking about Korolnik's game.
Al's brother. Yeah, let's pull it together here.
Yeah,
Casey,
come on.
You think of a giveaway as far as a golf match. What are you, like a 10 handicap?
Yeah, I shot 79 this morning. So, yeah, about that. Ooh. Might be shaving some numbers off my handicap, but anyway.
So you're claiming to be a single digit?
I didn't say
that. I'm just asking.
I didn't claim anything. I would say I'm probably a 10 or an 11, yes.
Wow.
We got to do a contest. I'm like a 3 and a 10, a contest where a guy that's a 10 and his buddy's a 3 handicap.
Yep.
Weekend in Seawood, couple rounds of golf. We got to come up with a contest.
Got to do it. Have to. Will and have to.
I know Noodles will not come up here, will not golf, so he's just, I'm not.
We'll FaceTime with Noodles.
Well, but you talked about golfing the other day, and you guys couldn't pull it together.
Well, and I noticed
let's go to break.
Yeah, we've got an update on that chain.
I'm going to save it.
Dude, we'll get
to it. What about the latest thing you did? I said to go to break, save it.
But all I'm going to say before we get to that, I have way too many group chats going on. I'm confused. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't have everyone in my
–
anyway, we'll
break,
get to that.
Noodles, and I'll tell you we'll the grade 10 move. He pulled a grade 10 move on the text with Gary Roberts.
I didn't know it was Gary Roberts on the text chain.
Go ahead. Go
all right, Ray Ferraro in 20 minutes. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
So this is what this idiot does to the group text with Gary Roberts. I fire up the group text and I try to get it back going. I go, Robs, any chance for next Thursday wooden sticks? Then Hayes, I see Brian Hayes typing and up comes Gary Roberts ? And then wooden sticks ? I'm like, what kind of amateur hour is this? And he doesn't even respond again.
Yeah,
that's what he writes. Gary Roberts ?
We're out now. Roberts, he's dusted us.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, jeepers creepers.
He didn't even write back.
Nor should he after that. But here's the issue, man. I have too many group chats going. Too many.
I know, but what does that have to do with texting Gary Roberts ?
Here is what happened. For starters, you called him Roy. I didn't know that was
his nickname.
How would I know that, dude?
Well, it's none of your business. It's about
it is my business. I thought it was a group chat with me, you, and Noodles.
You have a buddy named Roy?
No, that's not. If you read it, I'll go find it. Okay,
the way you. I'm not an idiot. I wouldn't. Just
yes, you are an idiot.
Roy, I just. Hey, Roy, what's going on?
This is what you wrote, Roy. Can you do next Thursday? And I thought it was. I thought it was our group chat with Noodles. So I'm like, are you talking about Roberts? Like at Wooden Sticks? Like I was like, what are you talking about?
That's what he writes on the group text. He goes, "Are you talking about Gary Roberts?" And he's on the text chain. He's probably watching this and saying, that's it with these two.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're the one that got us started here. Like your little escapades on the Gardner, we would have been fine if we got out to Wooden Sticks.
That's my fault that a luxury SUV just conks out of me at 5:30 in the morning.
I'll take the bullet on this one, right? Like I didn't know. I thought it was a group chat with myself, you and Noodles, and I didn't know who Roy was because I didn't know we were on nickname basis, you know, throwing out request to play different places.
I know, but it's just I say this whenever I'm in an argument with somebody. If you thought that it was me, you, and Noodles, why wouldn't you click on the group chat and see who was in it?
Because I'm on too many. The grappler's sending them. We got ones with Kenny in there. I got one Al's brother.
That work one, that one's done.
There's
because
too many going on.
That one started taking on a life of itself, and it became an 8 a.m. to midnight thing, and it was draining my battery.
It's a lot of interaction on a group chat.
And the group chat
mix-up is a dangerous game.
Yeah. And then Mulls had 50 beer and started chiming in at 1 o'clock in the morning night.
That'll happen tonight. Mullen's been off all week. If the Leafs lose tonight, we'll go back and forth. Mullen will write at 3 in the morning. What a brutal game. It's like,
from a dumpster.
Have you ever had a group text nightmare where you just fire one out, hey, Terry's a jackass, but actually Terry was on that one?
I haven't. I've heard stories, though. Like, I have heard stories from people that were
on the wrong end of it. Tell us your group text nightmares, and we'll read them.
A million of them out there.
What's the worst possible one? Just saying Terry's a jackass?
Yeah, basically goofing on people or whatever.
We had one with we've got a bunch of guys, and one of the guys is a little likes to penny pinch a little bit. So
and someone said he's a cheap bastard.
Well, they're like, we threw out an idea. What about this? And I don't know why, but I think the guy put reply all instead of just writing back. Was like, well, what about old cheapo whatever?
Reply all is just as dangerous as a group chat.
And you're like, you know he's going to be against it because it's going to cost him a dollar. And it was like the guy wrote back like just like I'm in. Like he got defensive, obviously, but I was like, oh, you know that was not supposed to be.
That was not meant for everyone's eyes. Reply all is the worst creation in the history of the internet, or emails or interactions, whatever. All right, hour two up next. Ray Ferraro will join us. Steve Phillips into the 6 p.m. hour. What's up with Vladdy Jr. early into the season? The opt-out deadline is officially passed in the NFL. We've got a total number on that. And the NFL is going to give it a shot. They're in camp, and it's time to get going. And the Leafs are in action tonight. We'll tee up game 4 of their series. And the Raptors in action, too. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.